Yes, yes, it is My Five Things, the podcast. My Five Things, the podcast. I am your host, JP, a.k.a. Chepe Pato, a.k.a. JPZ, a.k.a. DJ Dimples, a.k.a. Joe Penner. Yes, indeed, five. This is Five Things, art, music, comedy, skateboarding, and partying. That's what this podcast is all about, and today is all about Rocky and Bullwinkle. I love Rocky and Bullwinkle. I love it. If you recognize that was the little intro, let's play it one more time, because I just love it so much.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
And I really hope you like this episode. I'm doing this episode because I got so much mail about the titles of my podcast. They're really long. Why are your podcast episode titles so long? People would write to me constantly. So much fan mail or hate mail or whatever, just mail. Why isn't it called female? Anywho, we're moving right along. And it's because of Rocky and Bullwinkle. That's why I titled this episode Rocky and Bullwinkle, or Where I Get These Long Titles From. So let's show you. I want to show you where I get these long titles from. Here is some right now.
You better not miss our next episode, Fun on the Freeway, or The Quick and the Dead.
Yes.
Be sure to be with us next time for Plots and Plans or Too Many Crooks.
See, they have like the puns in them, the alliteration in them.
Be with us next time for The Cliffhanger or Taken for Granted.
You get it?
Too late.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Miserable military men, Boris Bedenov strikes again.
Why, Boris, that's a poem.
Oh, that wasn't right. Well, back on it.
Don't miss our next episode, The Shot Heard Round the World, or The First National Bang.
First National Bang? Get it? Anyway, so, yes, their episodes, so Rocky and Bullwinkle is a great show. They break the fourth wall. There's all these puns, there's all these alliterations, these comical anecdotes. You know, the story revolves around, or it's bookended. Each episode is bookended with the story arc of Rocky and Bullwinkle. And Rocky and Bullwinkle, as we talked about last episode with Joe Penner, and even before that, with the old style of comedy, where you have the straight man and the comedian, right? And so Rocky plays the straight man to Bullwinkle's dim-witted, belovable moose. And here, I'll let June Foray, who is the voice of Rocky, excellent voice actress, explain a little bit about how she got her inspiration for the character of Rocky.
Kind of a character is Rocky the Flying Squirrel. He said, a plain little boy.
Oh, no. I forgot. I forgot about advertisements. And, oh, wow. See, that just blew my cover. I was talking about, like, I was talking about the fan mail and all of the times in the studio where I've got like other people in the studio, but really it's just me like clicking on YouTube, and that just totally blew my cover. I'm gonna leave that in there, and I think that's hilarious. But I'm still gonna pretend like no one heard it. I mean, how many people really are listening to this anyway, right? So next episode I'll try to mitigate that.
So I said, well, how about something like this? You know, maybe he's a little petulant at times, but anyway, that's the way he should be. And Jay said, oh, that's marvelous.
Sure is dark in here.
Yeah, I can't see my hand in front of my face.
You don't have your hand in front of your face.
Well, I said I couldn't see it.
Look ahead there, Bullwinkle.
I love this.
At the end of the passage, light shone through a crack in the door.
Sounds like voices in there, Bullwinkle.
Yeah.
Put your ear to the door and listen.
Unfortunately, the only way Bullwinkle could put his ear to the door was to put his antlers through the door, which is just what he did.
Run, Bullwinkle!
I can't! My head bone is
the door was flung wide, dragging Bullwinkle into the room.
Hokey smoke, Bullwinkle, look!
Well, what dreadful sight has driven the roses from Rocky's cheeks? We'll see next time in Doorway to Danger or Doom in the Room.
And I love that. It's really great how they bookended it with these story arcs. And so they're really quick. The episodes of actual Rocky and Bullwinkle, like actual the characters Rocky and Bullwinkle themselves, are really they're really quick. They're not a lot of action. They move the story along really quickly. Here's a little bit more about the character of Bullwinkle.
Antlers,
'cause antlers are a moose's best friend. A rock, huh? Wait, Bullwinkle. I hate my uncle, but I love my antlers. Is it the puns are just so great?
Hand me my shower cap, will you?
Yeah, here you are.
Thanks. Anything I can't stand is wet horns.
And you got it. We got to play the theme song.
Characters in the show: Rocky the Squirrel and Bullwinkle. Rocky was the straight man, or straight squirrel, if you will. Indeed, he was the first squirrel to become an all-American hero.
So you get a little sense of that, how the show, you know, has that narration and how the narrator can break the fourth wall. They really play with the format. I mean, it was, you know, the story arc was based off of radio shows at the time. I mean, this show is 1950s, 1960s era. So it come right out of the radio era, of which I was just talking about last episode about Joe Penner. So it this show particularly carries on that tradition. Yeah, we got to play some more Bullwinkle puns.
No, I'm Bullwinkle. You want round trip? Got any square ones?
Fasten your seatbelts, please.
I take a size 36.
It's the missing scientists, and you're back in one piece.
You were expecting maybe installments?
It's a mine.
It's a yours. He was my uncle.
You know what A-bomb means?
Certainly. A-bomb is what some people call our program.
Bullwinkle, he...
So it's like, so they're right, they're making fun of the show's limited success. It goes great. So those are the main characters, right? As I mentioned, Rocky and Bullwinkle, the straight man, the comedian. They drive the story arc of the show, but there's of course also the villains. The villains of Rocky and Bullwinkle are great. Boris and Natasha, always entering as various different characters, always there to, you know, drive. I mean, they're terrorists is what they are. They're Russian terrorists. And this is, you know, during the height of the Cold War, right? So they're really making a mockery of very current events. I mean, this is like if a cartoon show now was really poking fun of, I mean, it's a lot different now, right? But they really were subversive in that sense, really almost propaganda-y in the sense of how they were making fun of the of Russians with that. I mean, in fact, Boris Badenov is the villain's name, and that is a pun off of Boris Godunov, which is an actual Russian czar. So even with the names, they're poking fun. Here's a little excerpt on how Boris and Natasha generally enter the Rocky and Bullwinkle story arc as various characters.
Gee, I guess you thought of everything.
Yep, except maybe somebody cutting the main power line.
Oh, come on, Bullwinkle, how could you cut the main line?
Easy, you just climb up this pole and snip-snap with a pair of scissors.
Yeah, but the electric company wouldn't let you do that.
I'd like to see him stop me.
Okay, you're stopped.
Who you?
World's most famous electric company detective.
An electric company detective? What's your name?
Sherlock Ohms.
Ohms?
O-H-M-S. He's an electrical joke. And this is my partner, Dr. Watts.
W-A-T-T-S, darling.
Sure, I've seen your name on light bulbs.
Ho, ho, ho. Can I get down now?
Certainly.
Thanks, I guess.
And in a little while, our heroes were back at the bank.
Well, looks as if everything's okay. We must be near the end of another story.
Time for us to walk hand in hand into the sunset, huh?
So they're playing with, like, right? It's so early in this episode, they're playing with the medium. They're breaking the fourth wall so well.
Early? Look, it's dark outside already. True enough, the sun had gone down, but the story seemed far from ended. He's only the beginning, folks.
What is fiendish plan, Holmes?
He's obvious, Natasha. We cut line, town is blacked out, we sneak in, rob bank.
But if whole town is blacked out, why not rob whole town?
Natasha, I got it, wait till you hear.
What, darling?
If whole town is blacked out, why not rob whole town?
Boris, how do you get such marvelous ideas?
Oh, they just come to me.
Oh, I know.
Okay, Natasha, start scooping with snippers. And the two villains began chopping at the main power line.
So right, I let that play on because nothing's, you gotta have a little sexism with your villainy, right? I mean, they're the characters you despise. So that's the dynamic of Rocky and Bullwinkle, and of course, Rocky and Bullwinkle had so many shorts in between. I was saying how they bookended. One of them, I guess before I move on, no, I'm just going to move on. I did want to talk about, I'm just going to keep going. Dudley Do-Right. So Dudley Do-Right, I mean, I'm just going to play the theme songs of these guys right here, because these are all the little episodes that would actually make the bulk of the show. They would bookend them with these cliffhangers like old radio show. But Dudley Do-Right, let's play his intro music. Right? Remember this? It was so popular it spawned its own movie. So the creator was very inspired by silent movies. And this is very reminiscent of that, the silent, right? With Snidely Whiplash is the villain in Dudley Do-Right, tying the woman on the train. It's the whole show actually has a very throwback quality to, the silent era. Of course, there was Peabody and Sherman, which also spawned its own movie. With the Wayback Machine, right? with the Wayback Machine, that darn Wayback Machine. Oh, hold on here. Yeah, well, you know, what are we gonna do? Anyway, I was gonna play a clip from Peabody and Sherman. It didn't work out so well, but that did also spawn a movie. Came out in 2014, I believe, something like that. Then, of course, you had Fractured Fairy Tales. So they had all these cute shorts that filled this space, and it's a really big inspiration for me, to be honest. There's also, you know, the main characters of the story arcs have their own little segments. This one, there's Mr. Know-It-All. I was going to play that episode, but I've been playing way too much of these little clips, and it's not going perfectly. Hurrah! So there is also something that I wanted to... I gotta bring this up, because some of this stuff is so great. I was using some of these clips to explain points about the show that I wanted to make, but one of them is just so good. It explains the arcs of the show, and, oh man, now I can't find it. How awful. Oh, there it is. So the arcs of the show are what carries the season, right? I've talked about. The first one was Jet Fuel, so it was the longest as well. It was 40 episodes long. Like I said, a throwback to the radio show. It was about Moon Men wanting the jet fuel that Rocky and Bullwinkle had discovered while Bullwinkle had messed up a a fudge cake recipe. So it's the silliness, the zaniness, the outrageousness is just what is so magical about this show. And here is an example. One of the arcs was about chasing a whale, like Moby Dick. But it wasn't Moby Dick in Rocky Bullwinkle. It was...
For many years, all the men who go down to the sea in ships, sailors, fishermen, garbage scow captains, have heard and repeated the story of the legendary whaling whale, Moby Dick. Moby Dick was supposed to be big enough to swallow a whole ship. Maybe. He could swim faster than any vessel in the sea. Maybe. And he had been seen by sailors whose reputations for sobriety were beyond reproach. Maybe. Yes, for centuries, Moby Dick has been a shadowy terror for all seafaring men.
Pretty exciting, eh, Rock?
So you know, it's so great. Their use of language, their use of the narrator, their use of structure, so great. I obviously am very into structure. You can tell by how this podcast is going. You know, this wasn't the first time. The history of Rocky and Bullwinkle is pretty crazy. It was at one point in 1959 the highest watched show on television, but it also was not making a lot of money. It had bounced around from network to network, changing titles. There was the same show, they just had to change titles. It went by Rocky and His Friends first, then The Rocky and Bullwinkle Show. At one point, it was just The Bullwinkle Show, and also Rocky and Bullwinkle and His Friends, and Rocky and The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle. Five. The show had five different My Five Things. It had five different names that the show was called. So... We covered a lot of ground in this episode so far. One of the impetuses to Rocky and Bullwinkle was a Crusader Rabbit. So before Rocky and Bullwinkle, this is now I'm talking about, you know, where the show came from. There was a show called Crusader Rabbit where the creators were playing with the format, this radio show format, this cliffhanger format, and it first started with Crusader Rabbit.
This could mean but one thing to our two idealists: war. As you can see, our lads were well prepared, for they had learned long ago that the pen is mightier than the sword.
So it was mostly for kids, as you can kind of tell. The animation was super horrible. It was, you know, not even animated. Like, it was more like a slideshow. But then Rocky and Bullwinkle, as beloved as it was, as watched as it was at times, was animated from a studio in Mexico. They outsourced the animation, and for just, you know, to make it very cheap, which was actually one of the reasons why they were able to have it sponsored by General Mills. So going back to you know, where it comes from as a show to the Rabbit Crusader playing for children, the General Mills were able to sponsor it. So that was, you know, and that's one of the reasons why they outsourced the animation to make it really cheap. Because of that, however, there's so many mistakes. If you watch through the episodes, you notice mistakes. I remember as a kid watching the show, seeing all these mistakes. Interesting other fact involved with cereal is that it's related to Cap'n Crunch. The creator of Cap'n Crunch was Alan Burns, who was also the creator of Rocky and Bullwinkle, and it was animated by Jay Ward, who helped create Rocky and Bullwinkle. So Cap'n Crunch, the original, the original Cap'n Crunch character, when he came around, was the same folks that started Rocky and Bullwinkle. Little, you know, little known facts that we're going through. One thing that Jay Ward was really able to do was his publicity stunts. There were so many publicity stunts that he did. One of them was having a statue of Bullwinkle, like a 12-foot tall statue, put in Minnesota, which is where Rocky's from. He's from a fictional town, Frostbite Falls, but it's based on International Falls, and up there somewhere is a big Bullwinkle statue. Other great puns, what's the matter, you, the university, that that is Bullwinkle's alma mater. I just had to throw that in because I had to, because it's such a great, I didn't show a clip from what's the matter, you, but it's so funny. Like, yeah, you know, you get it. Yeah, of course you get it. Yeah, it's funny. So Rocky and Bullwinkle, beloved by all. Fun fact, since I am in Oakland right now in the Bay Area, Bullwinkle actually got his name from a Bay Area, a Berkeley-based car lot, you know, which was actually Clarence Bullwinkle. It wasn't Clarence. Was it Clarence? What was his name? Clarence, yeah. Clarence Bullwinkle, a car dealership, a Ford car dealership, who was in Berkeley in the 40s. So, and 50s, yeah, had been there in the area, so that's where they got the name Bullwinkle. Little known facts about Rocky and Bullwinkle. There was an issue that they had when Bullwinkle told on air, because, like, you know, they were good at breaking the fourth wall, told the children to to break the knobs off their television set to make sure that they would be with them next week when the show had their next episode. And in 20,000 homes, children went and did that, prompting a wave of complaint letters. So, you know, whether it was something like that or an actual stunt, like purchasing or trying to create Moosylvania. They tried to create the town Moosylvania, which is also from the show. It's so Moosylvania's fictional small island in Lake of the Woods, and is disputed between United States and Canada, and in the show, right? And Ward and Bill Scott thought it would be funny to buy an island on Minnesota Lake and name it Moosylvania, and then tried to make Moosylvania its own state. Another funny thing about that is that they went, you know, they had this petition, they went to President Kennedy, and, you know, with their petition, with this huge publicity stunt, but it happened to be just in the middle of the Cuban Missile Crisis, so they were escorted at gunpoint. I think I've covered a lot about Rocky and Bullwinkle and all the other shows and the show's structure. Needless to say, it's such an inspiration to how I want to structure the Chepepato TV episodes, a cartoon that I've been working on, and you can see the progress of that at my Instagram, Chepepato TV, Chepepato TV. Please check that out. If you want to send me that fan mail about my weird long titles that I do in this podcast, or just want to send a topic to cover that is something in the realm of art, music, comedy, skateboarding, and partying, please feel free to do that. I don't know. Can't you? I'm JPZ. JPZ underscore JAYPEEZY on Instagram as well. I've got a bunch of different accounts on, you know, Twitter, all that stuff. I thank you if you're listening. Thank you for not listening. Much appreciated. So join us next time on episode 7 of My Five Things. What the episode is called yet, I don't know, or haven't yet picked a topic. Bye, guys. Oh, man. There are so many mistakes in that one.